Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, today is a new day, and it's the first day of a new week. For some, new things may happen. For others, it'll be business as usual. But when the women came to the tomb of Jesus on the first day of the week, there was a new beginning that they experienced unlike anything that they had ever expected. That first day of the week of long ago pointed to a new life and a new creation for all those in Christ Jesus, because Jesus had broken through the old order of sin and death. This morning we're going to consider the resurrection proclaimed. The prelude that was certainly setting the tone for us, that while the resurrection was proclaimed, it was unexpected. Not for the Lord, of course, but for those who thought that the old order of sin and death would remain as the only order that would ever reign at all. And so we're looking at that resurrection that is proclaimed, the prelude to it, the testimony of it, and the responses to that proclamation. So first of all, to take a look at the prelude to the resurrection that was proclaimed. Already back in that 23rd chapter of Luke, you can see that spices were being prepared for Jesus' body by the women who are mentioned here in our passage from Luke 24. These are women who during Jesus' life, according to the gospel writer of Luke, in chapter 8, verses 2 and 3, these are the women who took care of Jesus' needs. The idea behind the use of the spices, of course, was to help to preserve the body in some way. And while it was well-intentioned, it does point out to us, doesn't it, mankind's feeble attempt to offset the effects of death. In any case, the women come on the first day of the week, and they come at dawn, when the first opportunity past the Sabbath and the darkness is given. That they're coming with spices shows that they're not expecting anything extraordinary. The bringing of spices is customary for a regular occurrence, namely death. The women are not anticipating a resurrection on the third day, because the only reason they come on the third day is because they believe that they couldn't come before. For the women, this is just the first day of another week that's the same as the first day of any other week. Nothing out of the ordinary, nothing unexpected. But it's more than that. And they are soon to discover that. They discover this, first of all, as our passage tells us, by finding the stone rolled away and the tomb empty. And our passage says that they were very perplexed about these things, greatly so. Because what they had expected was business as usual. They expected death to have its normal grip on the one who had died. But this one who had died, of course, was no one ordinary. His death was nothing ordinary. But what's the explanation of the empty tomb, then? They see it, but they don't understand it. How could the body be gone? There simply didn't appear to be any way that that could have happened. The women don't say, some of our mutual friends have come and taken him away. Or, what? No, they can't imagine that the authorities would have moved them because they were guarding the tomb, after all, according to other accounts. He couldn't have just disappeared. This was the right tomb. They knew that. But they have no explanation. You see, unbelief wants to say that the body was stolen. But here is unbelief without an explanation. The tomb is empty, and those who expected to see death as usual see nothing. That's not what was expected, but there appears to be no explanation. And that is truly where the empty tomb leaves unbelief. With no explanation, with perplexity, were unbelief to be honest with itself. It wasn't that there were those who thought that Jesus would rise from the dead. There was no one who believed this. The gospel writer Luke tells us back in chapter 18, verses 33 and 34, that Jesus said, on the third day, the Son of Man will rise. But then in three statements we hear, they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. That's the way of mankind. God cannot do exceedingly more than all we can ask or imagine. God cannot bring life from the dead. Death rules. God does not. Now, that's not much of a hope. But that's the life of the unbeliever. Whether he wants to believe that or not. And if there is unbelief here today, that is what you believe. So even when God brings about the resurrection of Christ according to plan, unbelief cannot fathom it on his own. The best he can say. The best he can say is, I can't explain the empty tomb. Because he cannot fathom a resurrection of the Christ. And that's where the prelude stands. In the rut of unbelief and the old order, sin and death as usual, but not this day. Not on the first day of this week. It's time for the unexpected. Not for God. Not for God, but for men. It's time for the unexpected for men to occur. Something utterly marvelous, amazing. It's time for a new day, a new life, a new order, a new creation. Where life reigns because a new Adam has come to obey and to make right where the old Adam had failed. It's a day that only God can bring about. Even as only He could bring about creation. He who said, let there be light, and it was so, brings a new day to light as only He can in the resurrection of Christ. The women didn't expect this, but that's the testimony they received. We read in our passage that two men stood by them in shining garments. Two men confront the women. And they are dressed in clothes that shine like lightning. It reminds us of the day when two men stood in glory with the transfigured Christ before Peter, James, and John. Lightning in the Old Testament describes the victory the Lord gets over His enemies and brings to His people. When the Pharisees in Luke 17, verse 20, ask when the kingdom of God would come, part of the answer that's given in verse 24 is that as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to another, so will the Son of Man be in His day. The victorious kingdom of God and of the Son of Man then is associated with that shining, with that lightning. And this empty tomb is a scene of death's defeat by the kingdom of God and the Son of Man. So these men, who are later described in verse 23 as angels, ask, why is it that these men seek, or these women seek, the living among the dead? That's a rebuke. The men don't say, well, we can understand why you can't figure out what's going on here. They talk as those who aren't surprised with what's happened, and who declare to these women that they shouldn't have been surprised either. Remember how He spoke to you when He was still in Galilee, saying the Son of God or Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. They tell Him why they shouldn't be surprised. It's exactly what the word of Jesus had predicted. It was exactly in accordance with the plans of God from the outset. Jesus' parents, in the early portion of Luke, wondered what Jesus was doing in the temple at the age of 12. And Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. Remember how we were saying the other day how the Gospel of Luke is a gospel about today. You know, today in the city of David is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Today you will be with me in paradise. Today this reading has been fulfilled in your midst. Well, Luke is also the writer of the divine must. I must be about my Father's business. I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. The Son of God, or the Son of Man, must suffer and be killed and be raised. Chapter 9, verse 22. I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. 13:33. The Son of Man must first suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Chapter 17, verse 25. I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me. He was numbered with the transgressors. Chapter 22, verse 37. Jesus had predicted that He must endure all these things and then rise again. And the two that are mentioned here are mentioned as men. They're described as men to confirm as a further testimony what God had already revealed must happen and what Jesus Himself predicted would happen. The reason that the women didn't understand what was happening, the reason that they were not able to interpret the empty tomb properly, was not that there was no explanation, but because they were not looking at the empty tomb in accordance with God's revealed plan and God's predicted plan and the word of Jesus Christ. They were not looking at the situation at all according to the word of God. For the women and everyone else living, the death of Christ was the end of things for Him, just like anyone else. That seemed like the sensible conclusion. Evil men had won, evil had won. End of story. But it wasn't the end of the story. And it was not the sensible conclusion, as the angels, as the two testify. Why do you look for the living among the dead? That's not sensible. But you'd only understand the insensibility about it if you were to remember the word of the Lord. See, without the word of the Lord revealing to us what the plan of God is and how He would use all things for His good, nothing makes sense. Not an empty tomb, not the cross of Christ, not anything that may happen in this world, not anything that may happen in your life. Without the Word of God, we're left wondering what life's about. We are left looking at hope as hopeless, and the hopeless as our only hope. We're left to believe that evil and death reign, and that it is our calling to live and act according to that faith. But it doesn't have to be that way. You look at the responses to the testimony of the men. The women remembered the word of Christ. Therefore, they came to understand the plans and the providence of God, and therefore they came to understand the empty tomb. The only explanation was theirs now, to understand, thanks to the word of the Lord. Now things made sense. Now the unexpected that had come into their lives didn't seem so unexpected anymore. Not when God's plan and power in Christ, according to Christ, carried out by Christ, was understood. The women had been looking after the needs of Jesus. These women who had been looking after the needs of Jesus while He was alive wanted to preserve His body in death, but that wasn't necessary or possible. That was only possible by God. But then again, with God, all things are possible. This was His plan, after all, and who was going to stop Him from carrying out His plan? How wonderful when you and I can see God's plan clearly through His Word. His plan was for a new creation and a new life and a new order and a new day for Christ and all those in Him, so that those in Christ didn't have to look at life in temporary terms anymore. Now they could look at things with an eternal vision. And not just for Christ, but also for themselves in Him. What a blessing for us when we can see things this way by the grace and the Word of God through faith. How blessed when we can see all of life in the same fashion. Not as those who are in the dark, but as those who can find clarity through the word of the Lord. Apostles, though, they weren't so quick to accept this testimony, were they? For those who again thought that the church was eager to spread a resurrection fabrication, this history of Luke proves otherwise. Faith was slow in coming. The apostles treated the women like people who were delirious, like sick people who were hallucinating, people who didn't have a grip on reality or a perception of it. Peter himself marveled like so many in Luke. The neighbors of Elizabeth and Zechariah marveled. Those who heard the testimony of the shepherds who saw the baby wrapped in cloths. And here Peter, he sees cloths also. They marvel. Mary and Joseph, when they heard that Jesus was to be a light to the Gentiles and glory for Israel, prepared by the Lord, they marveled. People marveled at what Jesus said and did. And now here Peter also, something marvelous has happened. But what? Peter doesn't know. But you won't understand the empty tomb unless you accept the word of Jesus Christ. You cannot understand the plan for this world and the plan for mankind and therefore His plans for you unless you understand the plan of God. And you won't understand the plan of God unless you accept the word of His Son. You just won't. You'll go through life never knowing. It was God's plan for Him to die. And He must die for there to be salvation from sin. And He did. And He must suffer, showing how far He would go to show His love and obedience. And He did. Because He suffered and died in accordance with God's will. Because He who knew no sin became sin for His own. He must also rise according to the Scriptures, according to the plans of God, according to the Word of Christ. And He did. That's not unexpected by God. That's not a surprise. That's not irrational. That's according to the wise plans of the Lord. And so the resurrection isn't nonsense. Believing in the resurrection as the explanation of the empty tomb is not nonsense. Believing that there will be a resurrection for all those in Christ unto life everlasting, a resurrection for all unbelievers unto death everlasting, is not nonsense. Living with the hope of the resurrection in our hearts is not nonsense. It's living like this is all there is. That leaves people without hope and without explanation and without purpose and without meaning in the world and without reason for living in a godly way. To say, let's just eat and drink because tomorrow we die. That's nonsense. That's nonsense. Confessing our sins. Trusting Christ as our living Savior. And living for Him with eternal hope in our hearts. Now that's what makes sense. It may seem unexpected by us who cannot defeat death, but it's not unexpected by God who can defeat death and has it all planned out in His Christ. That's why you're here today. That's why we're called to praise Him today. And that's why after you leave this place and wherever it is that you go, that's why you are called to live for Him today. That's why we're called to put our trust in the Word of His Son, no matter what you're enduring. Then we can see things clearly. We can see that Jesus is risen, that Jesus saves. And Jesus will be with us always to the close of the age. There's a new day that's dawned. A new creation has begun. And through faith in the risen Savior and King, Jesus Christ, you and I can say, I'm a part of it. Through His grace. Through His work. Through His Word. That's the hope of the Gospel. That's a hope on which you and I can depend upon through life and through eternity. Don't expect anything less from God, because with God, all things are possible. That's what you're called to trust. And it's that God for whom you are called to live. Amen. Let's respond, shall we, and sing number 357.